Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is More Than Just a Podcast. Season 10, episode 30. Bad news, we're no longer the highest placed London club in the Premier League. Good news, we're still a top six Premier League club tonight. We're holding in on by our fingernails in sixth place, but just 1 point on the same points as Chelsea in fifth place, and just 1 point off of Liverpool, I hear you say. With me tonight is John. Where are you? What are you doing?
Good evening, Sean. I'm in my loft talking to you.
Also is Nigel. Where are you? What are you doing?
I'm in my kitchen.
Kitchen man.
And hearing those dulcet tones already, Canning Town, then, where are you? What are you doing?
Good evening. In the studio doing a podcast with you guys.
George and Jessica are not on the podcast tonight. Did he have a hot date tonight, John?
I don't know.
I'll tell you what's up.
Sure.
Yeah, I know. I'll tell you what's up.
What's up?
He was up watching the Super Bowl last night, so he's probably a bit tired because he does like a bit of Super Bowl.
I was just going to say that because I fell asleep in the third quarter for about 45 minutes and woke up halfway through the fourth quarter. And then I managed to see it through to the end, which was about quarter past three.
There you go. He does like his Super Bowl.
So no, it was a good game. It was a very good game.
Anyway, it's not an NFL podcast. It is a football podcast, and we have one game to discuss. We played the Cottagers or the Lily Whites. Which are they?
Lily Whites are Spurs.
I thought, if you look at Wikipedia, they're also called the Lily Whites as well.
This is your problem. This is like the day. Did you look up how many games you got a ban?
More of that later. We'll discuss that later. FA rule book, by the way.
Yeah.
So I tell you what, Nigel, let's start with you, right? Respect the point. 1 point from safety, 39 points.
Yeah.
Save the real talking point to later. I'm sure we'll have a discussion on it. But talk about the game. Apart from the sending off,
yeah, was it?
Yeah, don't do a long pause. You know how I hate that dead air thing, Nigel, because I really do hate it.
No, because a warning just popped up on me, but it seems to be all right. We'll crack on. sorry, yeah, I was looking at this warning light flashing up on my laptop.
It's a good start, everyone. Stay tuned.
More of dead air.
What was that again?
Len. Back to you later. You've missed your chance. Len, what did you think of, what did we call them? The Cottagers.
Well, they had everything except a finish, didn't they, really? You asked me for the prediction. I said expect us to do a lot of defending, which I felt that we did, and I was expecting that. I mean, if they could finish the ball, they finish the, you know, put it into the net, then we'd have been in banging trouble because we didn't do great against them last time. And I think you've got to give Fulham a little bit credit for that. I know it's a tougher game to get up for us. I don't think it was as bad as...
I think, didn't we score... Just remember, you'll remember. We score right in like injury time on the last game and it was 0-0?
No, they missed a penalty.
Oh, they missed a penalty, that's it. Lookman. But didn't we score in last...
We did score late, yeah.
Okay.
A lot happened in that game, and consequently, not a lot happened as far as we were concerned in this game, but 4 points from six, not too bad. Well, pretty good, actually. So nothing to
Where
get...
Where did it all go wrong, then? You know, were we complacent? I think everybody had us down for this win. So. Well, most people did. I think you even said 1-0.
Well, I was only to piss you off. I really thought we was going to be 0-0.
You're right.
No, I thought it was going to be a tough game. I don't think we were complacent. I think I remember them being quite good in midfield and actually running the midfield in the first game they played. And they weren't too far off of that in the second game. I can't really put my finger on what the problem was. We didn't look as energetic, but I'd like to give Fulham a bit of credit, to be honest. I thought they played quite well. Very well. There's one of their players. He's, I can't remember his name. Anyway, yeah.
What did you think of David Moyes? He kept with Jesse Lingard. He made one change, brought in Bowen for Fredericks. Could he have done anything different?
Not really. I thought it was a side that was always expecting to see.
I'll ask the next presenter about substitutions.
I think Lingard probably not bad. I mean, he was still doing what he'd done against Villa, keeping a bit closer to Antonio and Benrahma. I think you can see Benrahma blossoming around him because he's going to get plenty of action, even from some loose balls that Lingard's creating. Hmm. But I think quite clearly on the first match, there was must have been a bit of adrenaline by Lingard because it wasn't quite as energetic. But you know, if Fulham are going to move the ball around quickly and keep a little bit more possession, then he's not going to get the ball so much and he's not going to appear as effective, but that can
Before
happen.
Before we move to John. Mikel Antonio. What was going on there?
I didn't know if you were talking to me or John. He just really couldn't get into the game.
He didn't, did he? He didn't look fit, in my view.
Maybe he's a bit tired.
Obviously, Moyes pulled him off, and he seemed to sort of pull up short on a run, although Moyes denied it. I'd be very surprised if he plays tomorrow, but more of that later. Who was your man of the match, finally, then, Len, before we move on?
For us? I would say Ogbonna. No one screams out. I think
Fabianski. I know he didn't have a lot to do, really.
No,
did
I was
he,
just
really?
Trying
All
to
the shots
there,
went straight
they missed
to
the
him.
Target.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Declan Rice sends
the bar?
A bit of colour.
Who hit the ball? Who hit the ball?
Oh, that was Soufal.
Soufal.
With a header.
Yeah, you're right. So,
or did he?
Give it to him.
So yeah, found
it. Beautiful game, isn't it?
yeah. It was a bore draw. Come on, I thought it was a dull.
Let's move to John. The bar.
Hello, Sean. I'll give you the stat attack. West Ham had 39% of the possession, obviously meaning the not the Lily Whites, but the what did we say they are? The Cottagers had 61. They had 20 shots, 2 on target. We had 8 shots, 1 on target. Where did it all go wrong, Johnny boy?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I said to you,
easy three points.
Well, I said on the group, I did say on the group, if we were consistent, we'd be top of the league, wouldn't we? Because we're like, you know, after the sort of emphatic display against Villa, which I think infused everybody with the addition of Lingard, where I'd come on here and said, you know, he's a decent player, but he can't finish, and then he scores two goals. So, you know, you see that lineup of sort of Lingard, Bowen, Benrahma up front with Antonio, you know, you think that's an attacking team. Yeah, you think that's an attacking team. That's enough to put fear into any team.
I can't remember the last time we didn't score a goal.
Yeah, and then you sit there with the platform of Souček and Rice, and you sort of think, you know, we should win this. They're like 15 points, a little 7 or 8 points adrift of Burnley. They are fighting for their life. They are a good footballing outfit. But, you know, the euphoria of the other game, you're sitting there hoping that we're going to get a win. And then the realisation comes that it's that West Ham that's turned up and not the Villa West Ham. Yeah. So, you know, you can't complain. We're 1 point away from safety. And, you know, and if we were consistent, we'd be properly challenging. So, it could be a mixture of so many things. There's so many games. They're coming thick and fast.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. Let's talk about substitutions. 56 minutes. Very strange one to make a move so early after half time. He pulls off Bowen, pulls on Noble, pulls off Benrahma, brings on Yarmolenko.
Yeah.
Did you get that one?
Well, again, it could, you know, they were dominating. They were dominating the ball, weren't they? Again, if they could finish, they would have won that game.
Did it help bringing on Noble for Bowen and Yarmolenko for Benrahma?
Didn't make much difference to anything, really? I mean, certain players, I mean, Antonio's looking off colour at the minute. He's not...
Well, I was about to say, and then on the 74th minute, he pulls off Antonio and puts on Fredericks. What was that about?
Well, again, yeah, it's... Well, then
why
he's
not put on Lanzini? More attacking.
Yeah, it's using the squad. I mean, I say the games are coming thick and fast, and it sort of shows the lack of depth, really.
I mean, who could he bought? He could have bought on Lanzini. Fournals obviously was unused.
Yeah, I was surprised Fournals didn't get on because he's, you know, by his very nature, he's energetic.
I would have bought on Fournals instead of Noble.
And when he brings
Maybe Lanzini instead of Yarmolenko.
Well, when he brings Yarmolenko on, Yarmolenko hasn't got a lot of pace. He's got a lot of flicks and tricks, but not a lot of pace. He maybe should get him more up front if he's going to be our backup striker.
Yeah.
But, you know, I find it a little bit frustrating because you just know that, well, in our world, Sean, where we in the groups and things we live in, if we'd have had two more points, it would have kept the Chelsea boys shut for a little longer.
Oh yeah, that was a shame. Because we know a lot of Chelsea boys, and being the top team in London was we knew we would be there forever, but you know, it was great because they kept it shut, and we're on the same points. They're just ahead of us and got it all.
It just always sort of feels a little bit like, you know,
living the dream.
It was sort of like we had the similar performance that we had against Liverpool as opposed to the performance that we had against Villa.
And at least we're above Spurs still.
You never know what you're going to get.
John.
Yeah, that's great.
Your man, West Ham man of the match.
Yeah, again, same with Len. It's like, no, it's got to be defender because we did mostly defending. So I'll go with Soufal.
Okay. Bonham picked up a yellow card, actually.
One of our players got a red card, did we?
We're going to talk about that in a minute. You've been patiently waiting because you fluffed your first chance, Nigel. What do you want to say about the game?
Well, I think I said last week I knew it'd be tight. Fulham played a good football. Last time I said I wouldn't mind Scotty Parker managing us. At some point.
You sound like you're in a toilet, by the way.
Do I?
That's a bit better.
That's cool. better.
This new mic, you got a direct... You've got to direct it the right way.
We lost him.
Yeah, it's got a mute button, not actually Prince. So well.
Go on then.
So I think if Fulham had a striker, they probably would. I still think they'd be in the bottom three, but they might be more in touch with the teams above them. Out of the three teams down there, Fulham are the team that look like they're going to, or they look like they'll have more of a fight of staying up compared to the other two, who, let's face it, they're two teams I'd like to see go down for a start for yeah, different reasons. I would like to see Fulham stay up. I like Parker, the way he sets his team up, the way he plays. I thought it was a good point for us, to be honest. Any point away from home should be not celebrated, but should be accepted as we've done okay out of the game. Fulham obviously had more chances. The last time we played in weather like that, I think, was against Stockport, and we struggled as well. I don't know if we don't like playing in the rain. but against Fulham, I think we tried to catch them on the break. And it didn't really work out because they defended really well. They'd obviously wised up. But good all-round performance. Substitutions, I'm not going to criticise him. Bringing on Noble, I didn't get that substitution, I must admit. But apart from that, I was quite pleased with a point. We've lost once this year still. The only thing is that when you look at it, is especially if you look at the teams that we've drawn with, you know, like we drew with Brighton, now we're drawn with Fulham. If you look at it and you think, oh, we should have won them games, especially where Brighton were and where Fulham are, I think, right, should have won them. Well, give us four extra points. Then we'd be sitting on the tails of Leicester.
Yeah, I know, that's what I'm saying. It feels like missed opportunities.
Yeah, it's and that's, I think that's what why a lot of fans are disappointed, because you take the game individually and you think, actually, I'm happy with a point. But then you look at it in the context of where we'll be as a season. No, that's right, baby steps. But normally...
Get carried away. That problem is we get carried away.
I don't get carried away. I say, look, if we finish 10th, but with 62 points, that's a good improvement on the season, because we don't often break the 60-point barrier. It's possible we've only done it once in the Premier League anyway. So if you look at the points tally rather than league position, then you've probably seen West Ham win more games than you normally see, not lose as many as we normally lose. So everything on the whole's about progression. But this is that...
What could have been?
Well, this is, again, with the 2015-16 season, we finished 7th. We had our best ever Premier League season for points, goals and goal difference. But was that a missed opportunity?
Because we did it again then, didn't we?
That's what I'm saying.
We did.
We blew it then by losing to Swansea and by losing to Stoke on the last day. Two teams that we should have beat. Give us those 6 points.
I know, but like you, someone said at the beginning, I think it was Len, it might have been John. It's difficult to play a team that's fighting for their life. And, you know, they stopped us playing their game. You know, they did stop us playing our game, and I think their tactics worked very well. I didn't think they were going to score, but equally.
Generally,
I also wasn't that impressed with Loftus-Cheek. I expected more out of him. I thought he was a bit class. And because we've been linked with Loftus-Cheek. Mitrovic, obviously, we've been linked with.
Well, we need to turn the other cheek, don't we, when it comes to him?
Mager? Is it Mager?
Josh Madger.
He was a Madger. He came on. I know he only came on for the last 11 minutes, but he was a. I mean, he didn't.
We'll see what. You know, obviously, wasn't ready. What he does. I think normally the teams lower down that are fighting for their lives pick up more points in the second half of the season than they do in the first.
Yeah.
So, but the mad thing is that when you look at it, is that the concertina in effect of the season. I bet there's never been a Premier League where there's only been about 20 points between team that's 17th and the team at the top.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a strange thing.
Anyway, it was good.
Let's look. And that's why, while normally I would urge caution and saying, you know, baby steps, let's grow the club organically, this actually could be the one season where, with a bit of an extra push, you may get that top four. It'll only be for one season. We'll fall out of it again. But when you look at the prize money for a place and just being in the qualifying of the Champions League, the money that would do to a club like West Ham could
Well, look what it's done with Leicester. I mean, Leicester's still...
So, yeah, but Leicester took their chance, didn't they? That season, it we did, didn't. Yeah. And look,
Can't get Costa.
There's a divergence there, isn't there?
Well, do you want Costa? We'll come to that later, John. Let's talk about the elephant in the room.
All right, Sean.
Well, Sean, how are you?
I thought you was losing weight.
The elephant in the room is the sending off. Obviously, it happened late into injury time. Made no difference to the game at all. Obviously, the card has been rescinded today. I don't think I've heard anyone stand up for Mike Riley and Lee Mason, who had been involved in... Sorry, what did I say?
Mike Riley,
you're right. Mike Riley's in head of the referees. Dean and Lee Mason, who was on VAR duty. They'd been involved in an incident against Southampton and Man United, where Southampton had asked that they never referee a Southampton game again. And yet he's involved in controversy again. He Lee Mason, who sent off Arnautovic, I remember the last time, was told Mike Dean to look at VAR, go and look at it, because he thought he had a clenched fist when he raised his arm and grazed Mitrovic's face. And of course,
he went down like a sack of shit.
I mean, to be fair, you could see him going over to the ref, going, no, don't send him off. You know,
afterwards. Half of it wouldn't have happened if he hadn't rolled about.
Let's start with you, Nigel. We're going to come to each of you. Nigel, I'm sure you're going to say, VAR, be careful what you wish for. Your bed, you lie in it. Yeah, are you?
Well, you know I am.
Well, then say it. Go on.
No, VAR, careful what you wish for. You made your bed, you got to lie in it.
Yeah,
no, but this is what happens. You know, I've had people throw at me that, which I suppose in a way is that it's not technology's fault, it's the implementation of it. But if you're having the technology, someone's got to implement it. Computers can't make the decision. The one thing that stuns me is that one criticism of the referees originally with the VAR was they weren't going over to the touchline and using the screen. Now, that's been changed. But he watched it 22 times in slow-mo. Not one repeat was done in live mode. And I can't see how it took him 22 times. The big thing for me I never understand with referees is that if the elbow used was of such force on Mitrovic to force him to go down, like he witnessed, because it happened right in front of him. And this is what I don't get.
Yeah, I know.
He had a clear view of that. It was right in front of him. That would have left a mark on Mitrovic's face, and he would have had attendance on the pitch from the physios. The fact is, he had no attendance on the pitch. He got up, and as you can clearly see on the TV cameras, not a mark on him. All he had to do was walk over and just look at Mitrovic's face. And he would have seen that actually there was nothing in it. It's a simple thing. And this is my criticism of the referee. The problem is, it's funny you mention Mike Riley, is what people don't know, and we don't know, is what pressure is put on referees from Mike Riley and the PGML, the people that run the referees.
Yeah, yeah.
They get directives. The problem is we never hear from them.
But they had a bit of pressure today. I mean, there would have been uproar if they'd have said it wasn't a clear and obvious. And Mike Dean has now said he's asked not to referee next week because him and his family have had death threats on social media, which I think a little bit too far. I mean, Christ, it's only football.
A little bit too far. Just a little bit, Sean.
Well, all right. Look, I get death threats all the time. It's all part of being on social media. I'm not
do
sure.
Do you, Sean? Do you get death threats?
I have had a number of death threats over the years. Yeah.
Can I point out it's not part and parcel of being on social media?
I've never.
Oh, is it not?
No.
Oh. Oh. Okay. Okay. Obviously, it's illegal and it's wrong. And I feel sorry for Mike Dean, but pop quiz, hot shots. I wrote this on Claret & Hube, so I know none of you would have read this. Who are the Mike Dean has sent off four other West Ham players. Each one of them has been wrong as well. Can you name the player, the opposition, and the year?
No, of course we can't.
No, I can't. No.
Kiyuti?
No. The last one. All right, I'll start with the last one was against Aston Villa in 2019. Captain's our last sending off.
Noble.
Masuaku. Do you remember? Second yellow.
No.
Second yellow. It was a draw, 0-0 draw. He sent Masuaku off for a second yellow, which everybody said was harsh at the time. I think there was 23 minutes left. Before that, it's a player no longer with us. 2017. Manchester United.
Oh, this was, who made the foul?
This player was sent off, but the FA...
Fagouli,
well done. Fagouli. He was sent off, the FA overturned it afterwards. Right, year before, 2016, against... it was a challenge against Harry Kane.
Aubameyang.
No, and it was against, obviously, Spurs. 2016, and another West Ham player got sent off.
Ki.
He recently went on loan. Not me.
Nigel Kahn, then. It's too near the biscuits in, that's what it is.
He recently went on loan to Brentford.
You would have thought, wouldn't you? Someone who goes on every bit of media in the land would be a bit more professional.
I just forgot. I have this bad habit of folding up the wrappers. That's the problem.
2016 against Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Noble.
And he's just gone on loan to Brentford.
Oh, Winston Reid.
Oh, how did you get that?
Because he's gone on loan to Brentford. They've only got one player.
It was a joke. Finally, look, try and get this one. Nigel, 2003. He was sent off for a professional foul on Arsenal while ignoring Dennis Bergkamp, who smashed Lee Bowyer in the face.
Ooh, 2003. I don't think it was Lomas.
It was Lomas. It was Lomas.
Yeah, that was sort of rung a bell.
It wasn't Lomas, you said, but it was Lomas. There you go. Those five sending offs, basically all at the time, obviously VAR didn't exist on the other four, were all said to be harsh.
I like Mike Dean as a referee.
Do you? He looks like Jesper Carrot, though, doesn't he?
I like his passion for the game. I like the fact that he's different. I think we need referees to sort of like that. If you watch him at a Tranmere game, he's brilliant to watch. So he's obviously got a passion for the football.
He can
referee down that league then.
Well, yeah, that was a bad decision. And this is where I say we've got to come out.
But after
and
a week of
stay.
Bad decisions. I mean, he made a bad decision.
But my argument is, let's hear from him. Sean, if you remember when we spoke to Keith Hackett, he explained that Tony Gale sending off was there'd been a directive.
But we never heard that at the time. I saw someone, this is not my idea. Maybe referees need to give press conferences.
That's what I just said. If we heard from them.
Oh, did you say that?
That's what I said. If we heard from them after the game where they could explain what the thinking is behind it. At the end of the day, you have to, in fact, is they're human. They will make mistakes. Players make mistakes. Managers make mistakes. We make mistakes.
But come on. And I'm going to move on to John now because I want to hear what John says. John, how could he look? I understand missing it in the heat of the moment, although it was right in front of him, as Nigel said. But he looked at it for a good 2 or 3 minutes, you know, the Mike Dean show and still set him off. That I don't get. I mean, I hear what Nigel said. He's a good referee and he likes him because he's different. But how can he not see what every other sofa armchair pundit, every celebrity, everybody in football said?
The thing with it, what it raises is the real concern about VAR. I mean, VAR was there to prove beyond doubt certain things. But the bottom line is when you've got a level of incompetency from Mason in the actual VAR booth to Dean on the pitch, then you just can't. The level of actual refereeing standards just needs to be looked at, and they need to do something about it, because when you've got these tools to hand and yet you still make mistakes like that, there can't be anything more embarrassing for the whole organisation than to overrule a VAR ruling.
Yeah. And
afterwards, like it's been done today, that just puts the whole thing into some kind of level of jeopardy, and it needs to be looked at. And personally, I don't like Mike Dean. I mean, my opinion of him, it was Man United game when Ibrahimovic was offside and goals were given and all, you know, and it all became about him. And
there seems to be a little bit of the ego about him that he's not afraid to be.
I don't mind. You've got to have an ego, I would have thought, to be a referee, but he seems to be a bit more than most. And I just think that it really does put into question.
Retire him and put, or you know, ban from the Premier League? Or
there should be some kind of
repercussion. He can be taken off the list, by the way. He can. Mike Riley can remove him.
There should be some repercussion based on this week where he sent off that Bednarik for Southampton. I saw that, and I didn't even think that was
Well, Lee Mason, by the way, is our fourth official tomorrow night at Old Trafford, which I think is, you know, maybe they'll change that. I don't know, but it seems
the whole thing. I don't know if they can do. They can take him off the list, but they can only replace him if they've got referees coming up, you know. But it really does.
They're professional referees. You know, 10 years ago or however long it was, the whole reason they set up this professional referee is because obviously, you know, the old thing in our days, the terraces, they were all amateurs. You know, they used to come, whatever their job was, and they get like 95 quid for their for a fee, wouldn't they?
Did you see the clip that was flying around on Twitter of the Australian the Australian football, where he gets called over to the VAR screen on the pitch, and then the mics go live, so you can hear like the VAR talking to the referee on the pitch, and you can hear their discussion.
He changed it from yellow to red, didn't he, in that?
Yeah, he does. He said, you know, if a look, he goes, "All right, yeah, that is serious foul play. That first offence is a red, isn't it?" And he said, "Yes, I agree." And that's, you know, and that would be useful to be able to hear what they're actually talking about.
Ref mic. Don't they do ref that on rugby?
Rugby, yeah.
Where you hear the referee talking all the time.
It just needs to be, because the theory of VAR works. The implementation of it has been a complete and utter failure. So they either get rid of it.
I agree. I'd like to go one step further. I don't want to just hear the ref. I want to hear the fourth official, the linesman, and speak, and the link to Stockley Park, if it is in Stockley Park still, with Lee Mason, what he actually says to Mike Dean.
Well, they've said on the telly that he was talking about look at his clenched fist.
Well, there was no clenched fist.
He had a clench. He had a clenched fist. Yeah,
but he wasn't like a. It wasn't like.
Well, it is. I mean, he's such a big.
His hands.
Yeah,
he's 6'4". He was being grabbed by Mitrovic, and he lifted up his arms just to sort of shrug him away.
That's right. But this is the thing where they're not looking at it, and this is the thing where he says, "What." The thing about VAR is the fact that it stands for video assisted referee. People saying we've got to do away with referees, refereeing other referees. But that's the whole point of it. It's not video assisted ref bar player.
Mm.
you know, and that's what people saying, oh, get ex-pros in. How many ex-pros get slaughtered for being pundits? People,
yeah.
And this thing with it.
Although, where, I did like Jamie Redknapp sticking up for us. And, well,
yeah, but of course he did.
Because it was really it was a ridiculous decision.
But even Gary Lineker, everybody, there was only two people that saw that as a red card, and that's Lee.
Who was it? Oh, those two, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm conscious we haven't come to Len. Len, have you got anything to add? I'm sorry, we've sort of taken up all
the airtime. I did speak about the Fulham game. I'm quite surprised we've been speaking for over half an hour about a 0-0 and we haven't even mentioned the Villa game. That's really my concern, which was a wonderful performance. We're going to talk about that or not bother?
I thought we'd...
Well, no, we should cover that. Sean was doing his job properly, he'd realise we had two games.
It didn't seem like Sean. I thought he'd forgotten it.
But sometimes there's so many bloody games, I forget which ones we covered and which ones we didn't.
It's lockdown as well. We don't know what day it is, do you?
Well, I was going to do them in reverse order, so we end up on a high. I'll tell you what, Len, let's start with you. That's a great linkage. What do you think of the Villa game then, Lee?
Well, funny you should say that. I thought we were fantastic. Really good. Really good. Lingard made all the difference. He was the cement between the bricks. Not actually much else changed with the shape that we played. But he just was that conduit, that...
catalyst.
That all action kind of positive player that I spoke about the week before, like McAvaney was, with that inertia that just made everything better. It made Antonio better. He had a player close to him. It made Benrahma better. It helped Rice and Souček in position. Just fabulous. Just a fabulous performance, really enjoyable football, not looking like we was ever going to lose. And I said 3 minutes in, I said, Lingard's doing that thing that I said, that defending from the front that we need, we're no way going to lose this game. And I just thought it was fantastic. And he is that wanting the ball. The first thing he done was to take the ball into his right foot and have a shot at goal. Hits the target. And really, his two goals really should have been saved. But if you don't shoot, you don't score. And look at the difference it makes. Okay, we never really carried that onto Fulham. But, you know, you
an eight
you
could goal for Tom Souček like as well. I mean, I saw absolutely a stat, and I didn't quite believe it, but I'm sure it's true, that he's got the most goals in the Premier League of non-penalty goals. Yes, as a midfielder.
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
As a midfielder. Now, I thought Salah is a midfielder. Hasn't he not scored more than eight?
Who? Salah's not a midfielder.
He's a striker.
Is he, though? Technically, in my fancy league, he counts as a midfielder. So is he a midfielder or a striker?
He's like Antonio playing as a striker.
Oh, well, if it's like that, Sean, then you must be right. Obviously,
I mean, if you can,
but is he a midfielder? I mean,
yeah, no, the rest of football's got it all wrong, Sean. Because obviously, you put him in midfield, saying he must be a midfielder.
Well, I only go what it says. When it comes to other football games, football teams, I only really know what's on fancy football.
He's a good diver. He's good at that.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's what VAR should be, and this is the most annoying thing. It is obvious Mitrovic took a dive.
Yeah.
By the fact that there was no mark. So you know he's embellished what happened. We're getting it with Grealish. We're getting it with Salah. The things the fans want to see stamped out with by using VAR, they're totally ignoring.
Well, that penalty, that Salah penalty, the ref didn't even refer that. He just gave it. I didn't even look at it.
And this is why this is one of the reasons why I never wanted technology, because they have to justify its use. The fact that they're now paying more referees to referee games, it's almost like they've got to justify its use.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the Villa game. Stat attack, 20 shots, 10 on target for West Ham, 9 shots, 2 on target for Villa. They had 57% of possession. We only had 43. A very good game, John. I'm trying to remember. Of course. Soufal had Grealish in his back pocket, didn't he?
Yeah, Soufal and Fredericks was the tactical master plan by Moyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, it was just a great performance. That's what I was saying earlier. From that to this was very disappointing on Saturday. But it's
boring
just
first
great.
Half, I felt. I nearly gave up on the first half, I must admit.
Really?
Watch the film. Yeah.
Really? Oh, dear, oh, Lord.
Strange.
Yeah. Well, I just thought it was a really good.
It's all about goals, and all the goals came in the second half.
Well, it's not
the
all about goals.
First goal came
it's
on 51.
It's about seeing how we're doing. And
no,
how
no, you're right. Jesse Lingard looked good, but I just didn't think it was going to happen for us in the first half.
I thought we looked good. I thought it was a great performance. Me and George couldn't understand when that Mings cleared that ball off the line, Antonio's lob, and when he went flying into the goal. We couldn't understand how that wasn't a corner. Why was that not
a corner? Because the referee, when Mings hit the back of the net, he screamed out in pain. The referee blew the whistle thinking he'd injured himself before the ball had crossed the line. So the game was restarted with a goal kick.
Ah, there you go. We were confused about that. You could have put that out there and cleared that up for us, Nigel.
Yeah, it was something I only found out because I did look into it because I was confused, the same as we all were at the time. Like, what happened?
Why was he not there? But yeah, it was great performance. Good.
Who was
goals.
Your man of the match?
Lingard.
Yeah, he was. I had a bet on him, actually. I had a bet on him scoring, so I won a little cheeky bet for Lingard.
Would you have a pound
on
it?
I had £2.
Oh, £2. Cool.
I had another £2 on him to score this against Fulham. That didn't quite come off. But I like to have a little cheeky £2 on.
So you're only £6 up now.
I've had Dawson as well. Sometimes I have a pound on Dawson if I really want to push the boat out. Ooh. Nigel.
Yeah.
Villa. The villains.
As I put in my West Ham Till I Die article.
Oh, do you write for West Ham Till I Die?
That's funny you should say that, Sean. Yeah, I do write for West Ham Till I Die. For me, that was almost the complete performance by West Ham under David Moyes. Defensively, we snuffed them out. We had bodies in the box every time. They tried to play it through us. They couldn't do it. The fact that Grealish kept swapping one wing for another because he was getting no joy either side. And Moyes had done his own work. Great tactical bit of play, I thought, bringing Fredericks in. Thanks for that. And as I said, it sort of sets the benchmark for me for what we judge Moyes' West Ham against, because we know we can pull out a performance like that. Hopefully, we'll continue on that vein, because for me, it's the best performance of the season as a team. And
I agree.
I couldn't pick really. I struggled to pick one player that didn't. The funny thing about it now is that Declan Rice doesn't get noticed so much because of all the other players have come up a level. He's still being immaculate himself. Yeah. But we've now got players that are matching his effort rather than him being on his own. The only thing that worries me is Souček, for me, is so good. Can we keep the Wolves from the door?
You said this.
That's the thing. I actually think we're all right with Rice, especially with Lampard leaving. I think Declan will go, but I think with Souček, I think if a Man United or Liverpool or whatever come knocking, then we'll see.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Len, for reminding us about the Villa game.
That's all right, mate.
I didn't think we'd end up at a high. We've got the FA Cup tomorrow. Arthur Masuaku is the only one really still not. He's in the gym. He's working out, but he's not due on the grass until I think next week. What are we in? He should be back in March. He should be match fit in March, but he's obviously, after his knee operation, got a long way to come back. But we seem to be doing all right without him. Who he rests tomorrow is interesting. He did his press conference, David Moyes did today, and he was asked about Mikel Antonio, and he said, well, he's very fatigued, so he's got a late fitness test to see whether he can make it. I don't know. Seems to be gilding the lily. Fatigue, fitness tests. He just doesn't want to call it an injury. Rumours also are he could rest Declan Rice tomorrow as well. I hope he doesn't rest too many other players. I know they're coming thick and fast, but I think if he rests too many players tomorrow, he could be accused of not taking the cup seriously. John.
Hello.
Should Rice has played, I think, every game in the last 2 years. Should Rice start tomorrow?
Personally, I think if he's going to rest players, I would rest them in the league games and go for the cup.
You know, how about Antonio? Should we risk Antonio?
Well,
tomorrow?
I don't think Antonio's fit.
Yeah.
So you know, it might be an opportunity to throw that youngster, Oedipo or whatever his name is, throw him in.
Yeah.
Give him a run. And then
Len, over to you. Rice and Antonio tomorrow?
Well, I'd like to see him play. Yeah, I'd like to see us play our best team.
Yeah.
I guess really now, I'm slightly disappointed that the kid hasn't had his chance yet up front, either when we were getting a tonking from Liverpool. I mean, Johnny Lowe would have put his arm around him and said, where do you want to play, son? You know, rather than just sit there and lose 2-0, he would have used it to sort of give someone a bit of confidence. So I'm quite surprised it didn't come on then. We'd have to see. Time will tell how bad Antonio is. I mean, yeah. Moyes will know more than anyone else, because we have to wait and see. But I'd like to see him play, yeah. Do you think we're going to put our strongest team out, or?
I don't know.
We'll see, won't we?
He's talking really down don't. As a little ploy.
Could well be.
Is he really not going to put the best team out?
I don't know. Maybe he's playing little mind games.
I've posed that question on Facebook today.
Have you?
You done what, mate?
I posed that question on Facebook today.
Oh, this will be interesting.
Oh, well, that's
it?
Probably a good link. Is there anything else we want to, any other business we want to discuss before we go there?
Not this week.
No. ISC have got a meeting tomorrow, but I've seen the agenda and it's a lot
Yeah, I know. I've got that agenda as well through...
So it ain't even
it worked. Looks like a SAB meeting, to be honest.
Yeah, you know, it's everything that us moaners thought it'll be. So, yeah, I mean, my favourite is the queues that they're going to talk about.
Yeah, the queues.
Because no one's been there for a year. It's possible that it'll be another 6 to 8 months before anyone goes back.
I think they should discuss how well the queues are being managed in the last...
Well, we don't know that, so they could be still queuing. Which is not from there.
Some people still queuing. Well, funny enough, I'll tell you a quick story. I wrote to the chair of the Safety Advisory Board for the London Stadium. Her name's Sheila Roberts. And I said, Sheila, what's going on? Where are the minutes? She went, Sean, there's no reason to have a Safety Advisory Board when there's no supporters. So we haven't had any meetings. I went, all right, fair enough. Good point. Well made. Cool story, bro.
There's still people in there. Cool story, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Facebook Twitter question time, where hopefully Nigel remembered to put a question out, but not too early and not too late, to get round about 12 questions so we don't have to be here all night. Nigel, what time did you put it up?
6:15.
Oh, dear.
How many do you reckon?
12.
12.
30 odd, I'd say.
31. Oh. Obviously, we're more popular than we think.
Sorry, I just muted you by accident.
All right. Well, Mark, can you give that button to my wife, because she's been dying for that for 32 years.
So I hear, so she tells us.
Yeah, like she talked to you. You don't want to know what she thinks of you.
Oh, really? I've never spoken to her in my life.
Oh, no. There you go. First up, I shall tell you what I said. I said we called in tonight with the Three Musketeers and D'Artagnan. Gosh, Sean.
Why am I D'Artagnan?
Well, cause,
why isn't he D'Artagnan?
No, because D'Artagnan was good, isn't it? Where D'Artagnan, you know, that's that.
I don't remember the cartoon. I don't remember how good he was. I thought it was a shit cartoon, to be honest.
Well, it was. That's why he's D'Artagnan and we're the Three Musketeers.
Fair enough.
Yeah, see?
I got there in the end, didn't I?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I did put in brackets, Sean, so they all know who D'Artagnan is. Would you put out a better team for the Cup tomorrow or the league game versus Sheffield at the weekend? I put, naturally, most won't answer that, and you'll just ask your own question.
There's six days difference between it. Why is that an issue?
We're
playing tomorrow on a Tuesday, and then we're playing Sheffield United on next Monday.
Because that's a modern football, isn't it?
Oh.
We'll see who the modern
football fans, question.
Yeah, who the modern football fans are. Someone that's not modern is obviously Stelios Kyriakou. He then goes, "Hello, Matty Pips. There are a few players who got rested in the past games." He's put Lanzini and Fornell spring to mind. I think you'll find they were dropped still, or not picked, rather than.
Yeah, but that's another modernism, isn't it?
Yeah.
Rested.
Oh, they're rested. No, you dropped.
Exactly.
Mate.
Ask him if Diop's still going to Liverpool.
Yeah. Still, is Diop still going to Liverpool?
Didn't answer, did he?
He didn't. Typical, isn't it? He only picks and chooses what he wants to talk about. He said even Fredericks had a good game recently, and Johnson could also play. Does that constitute a weak team against Man United? I sort of get what he's saying there. Yeah? Do we have a weak team? He thinks Moyes will put out a strong team, apart from Antonio's. Playing him again will be a gamble. He's got a question. Not sure we're going to answer it still. Having seen the agenda for the ISC meeting with the club, is the ISC a busted flush even before it's gotten off the ground? Who shall I give that question to? Sean, for this one.
Yes, I've said this to Andy when he came on the show. I don't see any different now I've read the agenda. It just seems like, you know, it's musical chairs, right? I hate to say this, and I know a lot of people on this ISC, it's because it's the same people when I was on the OSB, right? And some of them were even on the SAB. It's musical chairs. They've all moved around. There's a few new seats. It's the same old agenda. It's the same old thing. Nothing will get really solved. And it's just a talking shop.
Well, the supporters club rep was obviously on it with Whistle as well. Which is quite funny. Anyway, let's go to a proper question, because he's greedy. He's asked two. He said, now that Souček's red cars has been rescinded, I don't know if he drives a red car. Does he, Souček? I think you meant card, unless obviously card in Greek is with an S and not with a D. But anyway, now it's been rescinded, should Mason and Dean, who sound like an advertising agency.
They do. That's just about to say that. That Perlandine, I suppose, is where you got it from, isn't it?
Should they be given bans for the next three games for their poor performance? Should officials be banned for poor performances?
Well, I think we talked this earlier. They can be removed from a list.
Do you think they should be banned for poor performances?
I don't know if you're banned, but Because this is their
rested.
Do you, as in you, think?
No.
No. Why? John, do you think they should, officials should be banned?
I think they should be suspended.
I like that. That's a better word. Len.
Rested.
Rested. There you go.
Like a bit of steak when it's come out of the pan.
Very good.
I'm hungry. Sorry.
There's someone who ain't had his dinner yet.
Every time you mention Souček, I think of potato salad and I really fancy some. As you were, we've still got another 30 to get through.
Yeah. Well, we ain't got on the Twitter yet. Nicholas Harvey, evening, gents, he says, Brady out. She needs to take Mike Dean and Lee Mason with her to the ends of the earth. He's being clear, though. He's not advocating death threats. Not for Dean and Mason, anyway. But Villa, great performance and result. Moyes, tactically excellent. Most I've enjoyed watching a game all season. Fulham, he put the whole team knackered, never really got going. Demonstrated how we have no real depth to the squad, which goes against what Cool Jazz Stills just popped up and said. He thinks we've got a great first 11, but those on the bench are a massive drop in quality and work rate. Fulham played well, deserved the point. I won't say what he says about Mike Dean, though. Antonio looks ready for his hamstrings to go at any time.
Cheese.
He says we have to put the strongest possible team out tomorrow night in the FA Cup. Nothing less will be acceptable. I'm with you, Nicholas. Question time quickly. Lord Leonard of Canning Town, what's the worst refereeing performance you've seen in a West Ham match?
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, off the top of my head, I would say it was the 2016 game at Stamford Bridge, where not only it was just littered, it just wasn't. What done my head in was when he paced 12 yards for the ball for the free kick.
Is that the Fabregas one?
Yeah, and the Fabregas. Yeah. I mean, I could have got it in if you're going to have a wall 12 yards.
Yeah,
and then the penalty at the other end that was nowhere near the box.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it just looked corrupt, to be frank. It looked like they didn't want us to be in Europe that day. I was convinced of it. So I don't think you're going to beat that.
Was that when Carroll scored at the death?
It was about 20 minutes to go, I think. We murdered them.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, we murdered them.
That was Landini.
And they came over 2-2.
Outside the box, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We were there, Sean, for that game.
Yeah.
And I fell over and...
I
remember.
I was about to say, I was at that game as well. And they didn't need replays, and I couldn't wait to get home to see if I was right.
Yeah, they got given a penalty. It was outside the box, wasn't it?
Oh, it was way outside. Yeah. Oh, no. See, it's giving me the ump. Who asked me that question?
Nicholas Harvey.
Thanks, Nicholas.
That's cheered him up now. I've got to calm him down now, Nicholas.
All right, calm down. By the way, I've just put Ray's signed art banner up, Len. That will make you feel happy.
Thank
you. So Ray Stewart's banner with a link to the signed art is down there. So if you didn't know, Ray Stewart has been signed by Clarence Hugh to be the new blogger for Clarence Hugh. And we put a link to Canning Town's Len Studio where you can buy signed Ray Stewart one-of-a-kind art, little blog, a little plug there for Canning Town Len to make him happy.
Thank you. So that's made me feel a bit better.
There you go.
Sean, as a Yarmolenko fan, can you explain what he adds to the team when he plays?
Well, I think you've got to look at, you know, you hope he plays that game like he played against Everton when he scored two, and he just ran around and looked the real deal. I do get that, that Yarmolenko doesn't turn up all the time, but he's got the pace, he's got the skill. I don't know, he doesn't seem to be consistent. And my hope as a Yarmolenko fan is he gets consistent in what we know he can deliver.
Right, okay. Thanks for that. Like London buses, you wait for one Greek person to turn up and then the second one appears straight away. It's Belinda Kaikaitis. Evening, peeps, she says. I would put the best available team out based on fitness and tactics. I don't think Moyes will play the cup game safe. But I bet if he doesn't start Antonio, there will be the usual chorus of moaning fans on every social media platform. Unless, of course, he claims he's injured and he's not even in the squad, Bill. Some implication that he, the team, the ball, whoever, doesn't care and he's trying to sabotage the season. I'm not seeing that. Villa game last week was superb, and the Fulham game, while poor, she says, from our point of view, yours, actually, Bill, I'll point out, it was a point. Remember, these are games we would have lost last season. I think last time we went Fulham, we beat them, no, Bell. In fact, Fulham have only won one Premier League London derby in the last 20, and that was against West Ham. Kevin Nolan was playing for us. It was that long ago. And she agrees that Mike Dean is a questionable ref. She feels sorry for him and his family for the death threat. It's appalling. She's going to continue to enjoy the season, and she loves the show, and it's a kiss for all of us, even you, Sean.
Thank you, Belinda.
Next up, Richard Howe. He said, God's evening all. For me, it's go all out for the cup. A high league finish is nice, but realistically, can we finish the season above eighth? Good point. We're due a cup run. I think we're on it. This team deserve it, and it would be so typical of West Ham to pull it off when no fans, lad. Brady out.
Brady out.
He's put.
Brady out.
Next up, Sean, pay attention. It's Myrian Williams Boyle. Is Sean trying to get into Rita's good books by writing a story on the away kit being on special offer in the club shop? But chose to ignore the fact that 2 days earlier it had been on sale for under £17 at a different retailer online. He says, unlike X, who gave the fans a heads up.
It cost them £22 then, didn't it?
Sean? Yeah.
Sorry, I was muted by accident. I was talking away. Right, so what happened is, right... I don't think that retailer was legit anyway.
It is legit.
It is legit because they've sent the shirts out.
M&M Sports
are you saying they're legit? Because I asked the club whether they were fake or real shirts, right?
M&M Sports is a massive sporting retailer, online sporting
but
retailer.
Equally, it's one of those things. What was the stock available? Was it just small, whatever? I don't know how many people got this deal. Do you know anyone who got the deal? Because as soon as I saw it, and I saw it early.
Loads.
Or have a look on Twitter.
Nearly 5,000.
Have a look on Twitter.
There's no way of knowing that, Nigel. No. There's no way they're going to release the information.
I see a photograph, and basically there was like a running total of that deal of the day. and across the band. I don't know if that was across the three West Ham shirts or just the one. And right. It had something
so
like
I want to know how that happened.
Well, hold on. Because yeah, the picture I saw, it said like 3,600 something have already had this deal.
My timeline is
that doesn't necessarily mean that's true. That's no tax audit, is it?
Well, no. Oh, you can only go on what they put out, and that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and you can put anything out.
I don't believe it.
My timeline is full of people showing their new shirts arrived today.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, yeah, then fair enough. All
lots
I'll
of
say
people
is,
done it, and it's a real shirt.
Well, all I'll say is they shouldn't be able to buy it. Umbro, the price that Umbro charged the club is more than they were selling it. Right?
Do you know what I think, quickly?
Go on.
I don't know if it was deliberate or not, but they were selling this season's shirts for the same price as they were selling last season's shirts. Now, normally with M&M, what they do is get like end of this bit like the old sports.
Yeah, I know. Thing. End I just wonder if they made a mistake.
And everything else, yeah? So they buy an end of line stock that they can pick up and sell it and make a couple of quid on each shirt. Now, for whatever reason. Yeah, but let's get this right, Sean. The club are not going to tell you if, oh, yeah, we knew they were going to do that or everything else.
All right, but when I went to look, it was already gone. So that deal wasn't available. Literally, I looked straight away. There was none left, right? By the way, it's interesting that most of the black kits have sold out also on the club website. The point I was making, so I'd already done about the lucky kit. Someone had told me we've won four times, we've never lost in it, blah, blah, blah. So I did a story about the 25%. And I'll tell you why I did it. I was looking to do a deal, right, in the club, because I get 10%, like some of you, I get 10% extra on my season ticket, which is because my season ticket's 600 and something quid, I get 60 quid. Well, I don't know what I can do with it, right? Because, you know, when am I ever going to buy an extra ticket? I mean, once I renew my season ticket, which I assume is going to be the same price, I've got 60 quid to spend. So I thought I might as well spend it in the club shop. You're allowed to spend it in the club shop, right? So that was the plan. My article was about use your 10% credit to buy a shirt while it's on 25% discount. Therefore, in reality, it costs you nothing. You get it for free. You know, well,
yeah,
better
but
than
we know.
Better than just allowing your money just to expire in a season and a half because you've forgotten all about it. You got 10% extra on your season ticket.
I would say to people, you'd be doing them a better services. Just old fire people because you know, come the end of the March, it'll go to 40%. Yeah, and we know.
Yeah, you're right. And do you know what? In the end,
they'll do a 50% sale.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And in the end, I didn't buy. So I made a big thing about it. I spoke to the head of retail, Gavin Stanley, and Jake Keith, who's the customer service manager, and Nicola Key, saying the club cash wasn't working on the day of the 25% sale. And they went, oh, what you got to do, Sean, is buy it with a credit card, give us a receipt, and we give it back. And that's going to be open to them. Hang on. That's open to any other supporter. But then they've said, we've been waiting 3 days for us to fix club cash. In the end, they came back to me. Jake Keith came back to me at 6 o'clock and said, it's all fixed, Sean, if you want to do it. Now, in the end, you're right. I thought, hang on a minute. Rather than buy the black gear now, why don't I wait until it goes even better and use my club cash then? So you're right. I did have second thoughts about it. But look, if people did get that kit, I don't understand how they got it. And I'm looking at kits being delivered. And if you say they're a legit company, I've never heard of them before. There's something very strange going on here because if they are legit,
Oh, stop saying if. Yeah, they are.
Okay. I don't know them, so I'll take your word for it.
Well, I'll go
I just
this
don't
far,
see.
Sean.
Where did they come from? They must have come from Umbro then.
Umbro. And there, I was about to say, there are bigger. They move more Umbro products in West Ham.
Oh, do they? All right, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, not.
But
just
but
West
I can
Ham
see kids. The club being quite aggrieved that they were undercutting them, but massively. And maybe
well, they
that's,
didn't do the deal right.
Well, I think the club. I mean, I know what happened before when Sports Direct were undercutting the club. The club put a quick stop to it.
Well, the funny thing about that, Sean, was that it obviously the word had got out early in the morning. I didn't look at it till about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I went on Twitter and looked and then see it. Went onto the website two or three times and I could only get last season's shirts for that price. I couldn't get this season's shirts for that price. I couldn't find them anywhere. So, but I see at least about 25 people that had bought them. And then the same people are putting their pictures up. John sent for a few. I've seen more today that the shirts have started to arrive.
All right. 17 quid.
Well, fair enough. People who got them, well done. I would have. Got, by the time I saw it, and it was still the morning, they're all gone. So how many were available? You say 5,000.
None of us got any, basically, though.
I don't like new shirts.
No, I won't buy. I mean, I would have done at that price, but generally I wait for West Ham to stick them in the 50% sale or whatever and then pick them up then, because I don't need to wear a new shirt. I only want them to put them on my hanger to go in my collection. So I want to pay.
That's not a bad idea.
That's all I want them for. So I want them for the least amount of money possible.
Okay.
Oh, well.
Next up, Mark Hallin. He says, evening, gents. He says, we've got to go as strong as possible tomorrow. If we can get past Man U, who knows? This could be our year, says every West Ham fan every year before we get knocked out. Unfortunately, it looks as though Antonio may not play due to fatigue. Hopefully this isn't true, but to be fair, he looks a bit leggy against Fulham. He says, I've posted me questions and drag names too late over the last 2 weeks, so he didn't get to read them out. I'm not sure what to go for, so he's gone back to the drag names. I brought a few in for this week. He's gone for Paul de Klitsen, Harry Red Flaps. Or this one I don't get. He said, lick dick me Le Coxlow. Oh, yeah, lick dick me Coxlow. Yeah, okay. And he said, don't worry, Nigel, it will grow back. It will do, mate. It will. I think she did a bad job, me missus, actually. I went to the, obviously, hairdressers indoor in my kitchen. I won't do the joke I did online. Heil, says Ian Wiley, with regards to the question, even though you joke because you laugh, but the joke I made online, my missus, mate, she gave me the joke. Ian Wiley, Mighty Wild, says Heil, in regards to the question, he believes that as the second game isn't till Monday night, we can afford to play a strong team in both matches.
Yeah.
As long as
six bloody days gap.
That is true. I must admit, I thought we was playing.
You Sunday. Didn't know that. You know, you've paused up as well.
Yeah,
didn't
I was playing Sunday night. So, yeah.
You?
On a Tuesday and then on a Monday night.
It's not recently, though, Tubby.
Who's Tubby? Who's piping up now?
That sounded like Sean calling someone Tubby.
I know.
It must be a clinically obese person on the stream for Sean to call someone
He's
Tubby.
He's obviously looking in the mirror and giving himself a pep talk. Now, Tubby, you've got to stop. Ian Wiley goes on and said, whatever team Man United put out tomorrow, we should go strong. Next up, Auntie Penn. Evening, all, she says, and she's
all that's right, Auntie Penn.
From the town. As strong as team as possible, she said. United are making mistakes, so let's take advantage and progress, hopefully, to the next round. She's put, I'm sure the red card will be discussed tonight. And while I've never thought much of Dean's threat, come up, Auntie Penn, come on, you know, better than that. Threats are out of order and embarrassing to those who make them. And by association to the club. Keep up the good work and cheers be out.
That's the first I've heard about this threat.
Well, I don't want to diminish it, but where was it made? You know?
I don't know. That's the first I've heard about this threat.
Well, apparently, I don't know if it went to a family. I'm sure it's been on Claret and you, Sean, when he returns from doing whatever he was doing, we'll pick us up on it. Because if he was...
I did ask it on the group earlier, didn't
yeah,
I?
Yeah.
What was the question? Know, sorry?
No referee has a social media presence. So
whoever's done it,
if it's gone to the family, then yeah. someone must have tracked down his family on social
yeah,
media.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's happened. Where
was the proof of all that? Have we seen these?
I haven't, but I'm on Twitter.
Have you seen people?
But you would see it,
wouldn't you? You'd see people doing stupid things on Twitter.
Yeah, because they're gutless.
Yeah, it's all right pissing in the wind and going, oh, I wish we would die or something like that in the wind and with no connection to anyone and just saying it. That's just malicious, stupid behaviour.
Yeah.
But people tagging in people.
There's a lot of people saying they don't believe it.
Yeah, I think that's a bit harsh to say. I'm not going to question it. I don't think he would come out and say that if it hadn't have happened. But
yeah, it's probably out there, but has it been? Yeah, it's difficult to understand it. But I'm sorry, it's terrible. You shouldn't, and it's football, and people shouldn't get these sort of things based on that.
I mean, my mum would be still inside if she got hold of me every time she threatened to kill me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you don't know. When it says social media, Twitter. You know, it could have been on Facebook or Instagram or, you know, who knows? I haven't seen anything on Twitter. So there's a few people questioning, oh, I've seen he's played the death threat card.
But that's usual idiots, isn't it?
But if he said he contacted the police, it's a slippery slope with him not, you know, if he didn't really contact the police.
All right, okay. Next up, it's Alan Walkie's Woodhouse. For me, he says, and for a lot of us, we have to play our strongest team every match. And if the players need a rest, then give it to them. No point planning for a situation that may not come up and risk losing both matches. He's got a question, though. Which is a brave question. Do our owners deserve credit for the last 18 months? He then goes on. He says, they've appointed a manager who's doing the business. Yeah, shut up and wait.
All right. God's sake. He didn't even finish the question yet.
He's put a point.
You've got plenty of time to slip your tongue up their arses, isn't he? Just finish what he's saying. Off you go, Nigel.
Thank you very much, sir. Appointed a manager who's doing the business, invested in the squad. And staying mostly quiet in the media, apart from Sean, obviously.
Yeah, spot on.
Sean's not real media, so I don't know if we can.
Sean's just making bread while the sun shines, isn't he?
Yeah.
Hey, while the sun shines.
I corrected myself because he knows full well when these people leave the club, his. Claret and Huge will just disappear off the face of the earth and have no significance whatsoever. Because nobody in their right mind would feed a website like yours the information you get fed. No professional outfit would do that. So you've got to keep in there.
But you know what? The brand is strong enough.
The brand is strong. Okay.
Yeah, I'll get a... I don't want to jump in and defend Sean, but I get what he's saying, actually. He sees the numbers that people read it for whatever reason. I suppose, and so...
The difference will be when it goes behind a paywall, won't it? That will show you.
Well, he's not going to do it.
It's habitual, though, isn't it? I know what Nigel's saying. A lot of people look at Claret and Hugh for their West Ham info. Can't be denied.
So
if you hate Sean, have warmth from the knowing that he earns a lot of money at you as well. I love my money.
Dear.
He don't need a discount on a shirt, Sean.
Oh dear.
next time.
Over such a short time, Lynn, I must say, over such a short time, you've really got to get a measure of the man.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Took me about 30 odd years.
Yeah, but the thing is, you like Sean back in the day, John, innit? You've grown up with him. So you're stuck with him because he sort of morphed out of control from the Sean that you probably got to.
He changed beyond belief over the last 10 years. It's unbelievable.
I mean, I can see it. I mean, I've known him 10 years now. And, you know, the early SAB meetings, you know, this was pre-Claret and New Days and whatever. You can see how clever he was he was a busybody, what I would call it. That's what I used to call him. He's a bit of a busybody, him, isn't he? But he was obviously networking, isn't he?
Yeah, he was hungry for notoriety and fame of some level. And he's achieved it. It's very clever.
Yeah, plus, he loves winding people up as well.
And then he used to sit there and stand next to me and going, who hit that? What was that, offside?
Yeah, well,
he's got a clue about football.
We've seen that today, haven't we? So I noticed his fan said we were going to talk about that later and never even talked about it.
Yeah.
Isn't it, Sean? Mr. two game ban for a red card.
Read the FA rulebook.
Yeah, slinked away. after the FA come out and said he's now available for the next three games, as I said, he'd get a free game ban, and Sean's going, no, no, no. Anyway,
you can
Jane
get
Mansfield.
Red cards for two or one.
Yeah, what for dissent?
Read the rule book. I'm going to send it to you if you don't believe me.
Crack on. Yeah, John Mansfield says, evening, gents. I'd like to know if Haller had a deal agreed with Ajax before the window. Why haven't we reported them for tapping up the player? Because we all do it, John, to be fair.
I think they wanted rid.
Yeah. They were probably pleased.
I mean, he did say he'd been talking to the manager 3 months before, but you could say, we were just mates, you know. We weren't talking about a deal. Honest, Gov. Yeah. Who cares?
Are there any
Craig Dawson scored more goals
signing
than him.
That's good to know. Are there any plans to get a free signing striker in?
I don't think so. Either yesterday or today, he repeated why he didn't want to just bring a striker in. He's very, very stubborn. You know, I think I hinted as much as I dare that, you know, the board wanted to bring in a backup striker and he dug in his heels and said no. And to back that up, if you just think, oh, yeah, here we go, Sean Pro board and everything, he's done an interview and pretty much said the same thing.
Yeah, he did say that, yeah. I saw
he
that.
Absolutely
you
said
might
it.
Be right. You might be right. You've got to give it time.
Yeah.
Is the West Ham shop the new DFS? There seems to be a different sale on every day.
Well, it's a seven-day sale. So you're right, there is a sale. But going back to your club cash, don't use your club cash. If you've got that extra percent, make it work for you. You know, if you've got a £1,000 ticket, you've got another £100 to spend
or
in the club
keep
shop.
Keep it to buy next year's season ticket, Sean.
Or what?
Keep it to buy next season's season ticket.
Oh, I bet you it will retire by then. I bet you've got to use it by a particular date. I can guarantee you that. It will expire once they've announced.
Well, there'll be a breach of their agreement then if they did do that.
Well, no. It does say in the agreement for club cash, you can use it for next season's ticket. And you can use it in the shop.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But
that's what we said.
Hello.
But you're not going to be able to use it for next season and the season afterwards, which is what Nigel's trying to say.
Well, we would have spent it, wouldn't we?
Because what I'll do, Sean,
on what, though?
I'll use it to buy next
a season ticket.
Yeah, and you'll still
have
money over.
I'll use it to buy next season ticket. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, then the £30, I'll buy some toot out of the shop. I'll buy, you know, 30 miniature figures that are up for a pound.
There's still Evra. There's an Evra and a Alaire pictures still for sale, by the way.
Yeah, so, but a future discussion is, it don't look like we're going to have fans back in the stadium in August, possibly.
I do. Sort of oh, I do. Absolutely.
Well, The reports I've read this season, this today, I think it was, that Sporting fixtures could possibly be on last on the list.
I don't think so. I think August, I think we're going to see normality. I think most adults will be vaccinated by then. And as long as this doom and gloom about South African variant doesn't come true, you know, us over 50s, does that include you, Len, or not? I can't remember.
No, not
us
quite.
Over 50s, apart from Len, should be done by May.
Well,
you're over 50, aren't you?
You have a nice time, won't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm testing. But then we get the Scottish variant, mate. You want to watch out for that. I'll tell you what.
Anyway, moving on.
Moving on. Oh, he's got a drag name. He's got a guy, girl, rear poker. Loves to get round the back.
I prefer cheese, to be fair.
Yeah. Well, they're sort of dropped off in it. I'm hoping, I put my faith in Twitter again this week. Don't worry. Because I had a good one coming from Lincoln Paul. And I thought, well, let's run with it. But I did ask for non-West Ham ones. So we've done the West Ham ones, to be fair.
What were you thinking?
Well, I thought I'd have a go.
I'm never going to eat tonight, am I?
Tell you what, after that Scottish joke, that's very funny, Mr. Bucci.
Well, that's because you said Scotland. I was just looking
at it. Oh, dear. Jazz Apple. It says, why was there such an outrage amongst the anti-Moyes brigade after the draw with Fulham? The negativity when we draw, let alone lose, is depressing me. Oh, I just ignore them, Jazz, to be fair.
Yeah.
When will our very fickle fans learn to shut up and judge end of the season? We all know.
When will you learn to stay off social media, Jazz, and not get affected by them? That's what I want to know.
Just, you know.
Just ignore them.
What we do is come off it. No, point the finger and laugh. We all know he's going to finish way above what our expectations were at the beginning of the season. He's got a like for that. Stuart Ling liked it. Scotty Bynes.
I was speaking to Jazz. Jazz was speaking to my brother in the supporters club. And Jazz was kind enough to tell me how good Canning Town Lynn was. Clearly not knowing he was talking to him.
The funny thing about that was that it started outside after I'd left you. And then he started going on about how great he was. And then I immediately walked in and introduced him to you and left you to it.
It was funny. He doesn't know that. He knows now if he's listening.
Oh, no.
That was me you were talking to, Jazz.
That guy
you were telling me about Karen Tell Lynn. It was me.
It's not the biggest secret in the world, is it?
No, but it was the beauty of Canning Town then is he can move about. He can move among them. He's a man of the people, and the people don't know what he looks like. That was always the
people
beauty.
People still don't know, really.
No.
I mean, you know, what Nigel said. Anyway.
Anywho.
Spoke to his son and daughter. Nice family.
Yeah. Scott Bynes, he says, evening, guys. He put a strong team out of Man United because he thinks they're there for the taking. He does ask a question. I think we covered it. Do we think that Mike Dean's request not to referee is partly due to his last couple of big decisions overturned? I don't think that is true. He does say the show's a great listen. And Brady out.
Brady out.
Brady out.
Brady out.
Barry Mickle. We should definitely field a stronger team. Another one, go for the strong team. People are loving the stronger teams. Although he'd love us to beat the Blunts as well, we're safe and our priority should be the cup. He said a few weeks ago, I said that a goal should only be disallowed if the part of the body a player subsequently scores with was offside. So it was Barry that came up with it. I thought this was brilliant when the ball was kicked. I seriously have my doubts that the refs, PGMOL and the FA have the capacity to make a decision of that complexity, given how long it took to send Suchek off, and they still got the decision wrong. Did it really need 23 viewings? Mike Dean, early contender for the KUMB Hackett of the year. And then he put, oops, sorry, wrong podcast. No, Bazza, they don't.
That's all right. We all know what you meant.
We know what it meant. They had me on twice. So I used to love KUMB, the old Longers and Skull were two professionals.
That was good. That was a good podcast.
You know, a lot better than the other Amatime one.
Oh, don't be cool. Oh, it's no time to judge people.
No, I will say, I listened to Shit Amatime the other day, and if anyone's listening from it, I thought it was really good discussion they had. And the most recent one with Mr. Sandell and Mr. George Mann, just to show no hard feelings, people. Alan Day, the Mercedes-Benz mechanic, says, evening, gentlemen. Go for the cup. He said, I'd play Jeff Pike. When the lockdowns are over, do you think fans may have more of appreciation of going to football, and will it change the atmosphere at the London Stadium? Having a better team to get behind as well. That's a good question, actually.
Possibly.
Yeah.
What do you think, John? Actually, John, I said, not you. When fans can go back, now we've all been away, do you think that you may think, do you know what, I want to go back?
I was going to ask you that.
I am coming back at the earliest opportunity to come out and see you lot and have a beer and all that, without a doubt. Whether that leads to me coming back and signing in and signing up again, I think will remain to be seen. But I do think that when we do go back, if the team is performing like it is, there will be a different atmosphere around the place. The positivity will be better at that place, I would have thought. But then it does lead back to the support of the team and not the regime, and I personally think that should maintain and carry on. I do wonder
where Hammers United, if let's say we're all back in the stadium next week and they ask for a march, I do wonder how many people would turn up. I know they will say it's not about results. Sorry, who said that?
Me. Thousands would turn up.
You reckon? Because not
everyone doing that march went to the game.
More than the 8,000 before.
Not necessarily more. Well, the answer is we don't know.
Apathy.
But they will.
You're right. We won't be able to prove each other. I think apathy, and I think some of this is about results on the pitch. Because I think we're a fickle fan base.
Going back to Nigel's original question, which was the question that the listener asked.
Yeah. Good point. Well made.
You know, for me and my brother, we were going to give up our season ticket COVID happened, and now we're not. And what I will say is, during this pandemic and the lockdown, you can only visualise or look forward to going back to London Stadium. You can't do that with Upton Park now, because absence, I wouldn't say makes the heart go fond as far as London Stadium's concerned, but you can only... looking forward to, it's like looking forward to your dinner. If you know what you're going to have for dinner and you can look forward to it, do you enjoy it more? I mean, this is like an advertising trick. You can, because you can only look forward to going back to London Stadium, it will make a difference to the atmosphere there, because people want to be back there now, whereas people like me and brother didn't want to be there before this. So I think you are. And I think that the break has done Moyes good. It's given him the time that he needs. Because when we were, before the lockdown, the discussions were, should we sack Moyes again? And that won't be that like now when we come in. There won't be too much of a change to the board, the attitude to the board. It's more than that, people's view of the board. But
if you look at the Premier League, I think West Ham's, if you look at it, say, who's benefited the most from the stop with the lockdown and then football from lockdown onwards, the original lockdown in March. So no football between March and July, wasn't it? What team benefited the most? And now, Don, I think it's West Ham. We were going down. I think because of the toxic atmosphere around the ground, the marches were only going to get bigger. Let's get it that way.
Yeah.
The marches were only going to get bigger. They had a groundswell of support that was growing at Amers United. And whatever happens, I get it, the back of the team, not the regime, but that negativity does follow into the ground. The evidence is there really for that Burnley game. Because all that negativity started from the atmosphere was building up before, after all that nonsense of marching or not marching, and people did, and all the demonstrators and everything else. So you can point to that, that it was building and building. And if the bad results had continued, I actually do think we were going to go down, and that it was only the Moyes turned it around post-lockdown. And then from that moment on, we kicked on. And perhaps it done us more favour not having fans in the ground.
Yeah.
I think if they were clever, if they were wise, if they were good at what they did in any respect now, they would sack Brady. Because if they sacked Brady now and made that change...
Because
when everyone gets back in that ground, no matter what we think and what we do, we're all going to be so just bloody grateful to be out of this lockdown. Mm. We're all going to be so grateful to be anywhere and do anything.
Mm.
You take Brady out of the equation, and there'd be a sense of change in that board.
Yeah,
it could be their salvation. If they were clever, they would do that. That one thing could actually save their ownership.
Mm.
Yeah, you preempted my video for next week. That's a good build-up. Thanks for that, John. someone did ask me, and I did say to him, a reply on Twitter, don't worry, I'm doing a full Brady out video next. Because for me, I don't think GSB out works, because you've got a buyer. So therefore, for me, there's a lot of effort. I fully understand why. Yes, I'm in the GSB out camp. I fully understand why. Will it ever work? I don't think it will. But Brady out.
Definitely Brady out.
What do you think, Sean?
That will work.
Do you think it would be a wise move, Sean, at this time?
No, I don't. No.
Oh, you flip-flopped again.
No. It's not a flip-flop. You know, I've been on the record to say...
Oh, you were never Brady out then? You pretended?
No, of course I was. Of course I was. And I still say that.
So you're back in
but the- I just... No. No. And we don't talk. We don't exchange cards. We don't chit-chat. I just think the timing's wrong. You know?
Why? After what we said, if it's a case that people are looking back to going to that stadium for the first time ever... Because there's never been.
Oh, right. So you're talking after pandemic. Yeah. Well, sorry. I thought you were talking right now. You're talking when
now.
We're all
feeling,
back.
Yeah, now. Now. The feeling.
End of this season.
I don't see.
What I was saying, when I was saying like an advertising trick, if you were going back into a stadium that you were looking forward to and you got the sense that you were going back to a different club, which is the results have gone that way. Whole feel of the fan base has gone that way with Moyes, and you were going back to a changed board.
I don't think it matters to most people.
A new profile, a new high profile.
Yeah.
CEO.
Do you know what? I don't think anyone. We might care, but I don't think a lot of other people care.
Well, I think the 8,000 people at March would, and the representative of the 20,000 who've signed up for Hammers United would. I think it would be a clever and wise thing to do if it was them.
I do. If I was a whisper in someone's ear, I'd tell them to do it politically. You know.
Perhaps he has.
You're that person. You're that person, Sean.
Anyway,
we'll be here all night.
That means,
yeah.
Keep up the good work. says Alan. He says he remembers a great atmosphere his last season at Upton Park, and that was helped by having a decent team. He thinks that Benrahma, Lingard, Antonio and Bowman would get bums off the seats, creating more chances and excitement. Next up is Michael Leary Jr. He's the soul singing superstar from South Tenerife. I don't know if he's moved south or he says, sorry, Nigel, he's got to correct me. I always thought he was North Tenerife, mate. Still, I've never been to Tenerife, so I was guessing. He thinks we should play the strongest team possible. We've got to go all out for the cup because he's 40, and like a lot of people, and they haven't won a cup since he's been alive. I feel sorry. Do you know, I do feel sorry for people like that. You know, it's it. I've always think it's easy for us over 45, probably over 50 people to be a West Ham fan because we've got something to cling to. You know, we remember when we won trophies and competed in the league. I mean, Michael's 40, that makes him 4 years old when we did 85, 86. And from then, it's been, you know, an FA Cup final. That's about it, really, isn't it?
Pretty bang average.
You know, the funny thing is, always, if you look at West Ham's history, we've only really been good since about 1963 to 1986. So in 120 years or 125 years, a 23-year period, all the best things we ever did. Even our record win against Bury was in that period. So
it's true what you say there. Funny, I was talking to my missus last night. She hates football, but she knows who Kenny Dalglish is.
Yes.
And I told her that
broke my heart.
I told her that my first game, Kenny Dalglish was there, and it was probably a toss-up out of him and Maradona, who was the best footballer in the world at that time in April 1978. And I said, it's probably strange to, if you were telling a seven-year-old now that when you walked out of that stadium, Kenny Dalglish wouldn't be your favourite footballer, it would have been David Cross.
Mm.
And I remember saying to her, it seems silly now, but especially I didn't have to wait long
he didn't even score.
To know why. Exactly, yeah. He didn't have much. Yeah, exactly. I didn't have to wait long to sort of get the answer to why. Because 2 years ago, a couple of weeks later, we won the cup.
Yeah.
And West Ham, younger West Ham fans won't have that feeling of any justification. Do you know what I mean? They must be asking themselves, why the hell do I support West Ham? They ain't got a clue. There's been no payoff for them. It's sad, really.
Mm. But it's not your fault, Mike. Don't blame yourself, son.
Playoff final wins, maybe.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, how can they? This is what I probably, because we've seen success, like me and Nigel, we just don't understand the glorification of the playoff win. I mean, it's double failure, isn't it? Followed by good day out.
I enjoyed
Preston. A relief.
I enjoyed Preston. And the reason for that was, having been there for the Palace game, and it's hard saying it as a West Ham fan. You know, when I'd never known disappointment like that.
Yeah.
Coming out.
I think that was much worse.
After the Palace defeat, thinking, how the hell have we lost to these bunch of mugs?
Yeah, I was there. I was gutting that game.
I know, because when I went to the Preston game, I think there was about six of us. I had like a chauffeur car to go to the first Palace game. And only me and my nephew went to the Preston game. And I know a lot of people that didn't go to the Preston game because the disappointment of the Palace game was just too much. There was just, you know, it was just soul destroying. And it was worse than the cup final because at least the cup final, we didn't lose the match. We just lost the penalty shootout. And we were the better team and we had a bit of pride about us. Where with the Palace playoff, that was just, even they were stunned, you know. You knew. So yes, that's that's why I suppose the younger generation clinked the 2012, didn't they? And the Blackpool game at Wembley.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the closest they've set field to.
And I get it. People say,
"Come on, tomorrow. We need a good performance tomorrow."
let's try and be a bit upbeat. We'll stop with now. We're really sucking the life out of this job. Gary Prince, Sean's mate, he's put with a 6-day gap before we play our next match. We've got to go strong. Remember resting players before the quarter final in 2006. Very true. We played Portsmouth on the Saturday. And we put out, and I always remember this, Dan, quickly, bear with me, is that I was working Saturday morning in the Euston Tower. And the job entailed me going to work at 5 o'clock in the morning, starting work so I could finish at 1 o'clock, go to the game. Then when I'd finished the game, I'd then arrange to then go back to the Euston Tower to finish the work. I remember walking in and seeing the team when we put out the reserves. We got beat 4-2 on the Saturday by Portsmouth. And you think, blimey, I wish I'd stayed at work. You know, because now I'm working till half past 10 at night when I could have finished at 5 o'clock. But then on the Monday night, we played Man City in the quarter final. And that's when Ashton come up trumps, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Three goals. And then you think, oh, here we go then. On to the semi-finals. Gary Prince says it here. I should have read it. He's put, we lost 4-2 to Portsmouth with Clive Clark. I can't even read it. He's put it here. We've lost 4-2 to Portsmouth with the likes of Clive Clark and Yaniv Katan playing, but we rested the others and we beat Man City 2 days later. Though he believes we should play our strongest team because of the 6-day gap for the recovery. And do we want the likes of Antonio and Rice to have a 9-day without playing? I think we're doing well this season as well because we're having a game. Two games a week.
I think it helps, yeah.
The players always say they prefer playing to training.
That's right.
So, next up is the Pontiff himself, Mr. Simon Pope. He says, evening, gentlemen, short and sweet. He said he'd put out a strong team for the Cup. Not sure who we're going to play up top, though, because of Antonio. Is he injured or is Moyes keeping his cards close to his chest? Well, we'll find out, on it. A new name I've not seen. It's Barry Carcass. I don't know if he's...
Carcass.
There you go. I would put...
Welcome, Barry. We don't want to poke fun for the first time.
We'll wait if you comment again and then we'll like pick the bones out of that. But anyway, exactly. I would put...
I didn't go there.
Oh, no. I would put out our best team for tomorrow with Antonio. We need to fight... Well, without Antonio, because we've got to find the right solution for that scenario. Good point. If realistically, are we going to finish in the top six? We've not got the depth in squad. Where do you think we should be aiming to finish top 10? Neil Hodgkinson, cut all day long, safe in the league, fatigue squad. We'll struggle to get top six. Hope we're all keeping safe. We're all keeping safe, lads.
Yeah, a bit too safe if you ask me, yeah.
Wesley
safe
Williams.
Safe houses.
Oh, right, there you go. Wesley Williams, better team for the cut. No reason not to go for it. If he's then asked, will there be repercussions for Mike Dean? Not from the Referees Association. They look after each other. He said death threats way too far, but there should be some official evaluation of his work. That's true. He said, but Souček was great for being a professional. It's the button monkey himself, DJ Russy B. Better team out for the cup. We only have to win 4 games now and we'll win a trophy. There you go. Puts a good spin on it. I'll see you Thursday night, Russ. Lee Goddard, I'll be really disappointed and frustrated if we didn't put out a strong team. Give man, everybody's going for the cup, isn't it? How disappointed are we before kickoff when he puts the reserves out? Lee then goes on and says, we've got to go for it. We don't have to worry about league position and he wants us to turn up. Keep up the good works. Brilliant. Lou points out, a double point out, which we play on Monday, not at the weekend. Yeah, I'll get that now, Lou. Thanks. And he points out Sheffield United, not Sheffield. Well, Sheffield Wednesday, yeah, and not in the Premier League. And Sheffield FC, the oldest football club in the world, and not in football league at all. So, come on, pedant. Stuart Ling, that's all he said anyway. Evening, gents. Brady out. Another one.
Brady out. On
the side. He's expecting their best effort. But should we lose tomorrow night? It's only about the league from there on in anyway. But he is desperate for us to win a trophy before he shuttles off this mortal coil. Another youngster. He was only 3 years when we won it in 1980. So he's not really going to remember it, is he? Paul Nolan, the chauffeur, it goes, I can't believe I missed Merrion's call on Friday and the offer of doing some shopping for me. He says, is it Help the Aged? Is it Merrion's doing there, Paul? Then? Oh, wow. Have you had your jab yet, Nolan? He says, he thinks on the lucky Blackford kit, they sold 80 grand's worth of kit. Well.
Who did?
M&M's.
No one knows. Where's all this coming from?
M&M PR department.
Well, anyway, he said, I bet they still made a profit. Shows you the margins are high on the kits. In fact, making...
Well, there's not margin, though. There's not... Funny you should say that. There is hardly any margin. The price, do you know how much the club make on it?
Go on.
No, we don't, but you do. So,
of course I do.
Well, tell us then.
10 quid.
Tell us then.
10 quid.
I want to eat tonight.
10 Hello? Quid. 10 quid.
Yeah, so, okay. But the
and part of that, let me tell you. It's
structured a little bit different, that deal.
Hang on. So Umbro pay to be a technical partner, and part that's of right. that is they get the most of the money. But that's still exactly. the same for any other retailer. So if Umbro is selling this, why are they dumping lots of shirts on the market?
Because the Chinese...
I don't know.
Because they want to sell them and need to get rid of them. It's a totally different structured deal. What you said is absolutely correct, Sean. But you're saying it in the term, you know why. Because Umbro have got lots of kits left over because basically three kits are too much to buy.
Yeah, but that's always been the same.
No, yeah, exactly.
Because that only came about in modern times. Even in the 1990s, early 2000s, we had two kits, or the home shirt would last for two seasons. Having three kits every season, yeah. What they used to do was, when they started changing the kits every 2 years, is they'd change the away kit one season, home kit another. They started doing that for a little bit.
But that, I do get, right, how companies like M&M Direct would sell old kit that is maybe manufactured. But what I don't understand...
I think that's a mistake by Umbro myself.
I think you'll find that there's going to be a surplus because of the COVID.
Yeah.
And I think they're probably... They might even be being a bit naughty, Umbro, releasing it a bit too early. But I reckon they could have, got away with it in the next calendar year.
Now you've brought this all up, I think I'm going to have a chat with...
you'll get the truth out of them.
Sean, remember that West Ham also, under Golden Sullivan, or under Brady, I should point out, they were the ones who pulled the shirt out of general retail so you could only get the West Ham shirt off of them.
Yeah, well, that's not true anymore, though, is it?
Well, you go in Sports Direct and a lot of the other sports shops, you don't really see the West Ham shirts now. Now, why that means we keep control of it, what they fail to get, the bigger picture is that the fact that you could walk into a sports shop in Devon and buy a West Ham shirt meant the kids would be looking at the shirts and maybe thinking, I like that, I want to support that team. Where when they walk into that sports shop now down in Barnstable High Street and don't see a West Ham shirt, it's not on their mind. And what West Ham did was lost that exposure.
You know, when I went up to see Ray in Scotland, I went to a Sports Direct there. They only had a Celtic and Rangers shirt. They didn't have a Dundee United. And they are the Premier League shirts, English Premier League.
Mm.
I mean, that's inconceivable to our generation. Anyway.
Mm. Anyway.
No one wants dead air, especially Sean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You find that, Sean. Be a nice little clear new article for you.
I will find out.
He enjoyed Paul says he enjoyed my video. He says, we have slipped down the league. He says, do we think we should have signed a striker? We'll skip that. He said he has been watching the old big matches on TV. I watch them every week and record them from the 70s. And which is a thing I always wonder as well, is why does everyone in their 20s back then look like they're in their 60s?
I don't know. I've always wondered that. I don't know.
But he thinks...
It's like when you see a photo of your father the same age, you swear he's older.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, you know, your interpretation.
Yeah. Nick Stanley says, evening, Queens. Definitely a better team in the Cup. It's winnable this year. Even if we won't get the go, would hope even a weakened team would do a job on Sheffield United. Not sure about that. Dodsy. I'm losing the will to live now. All right, my Anson. How are you doing?
Well, finish. Just finish.
There's Nigel continues to moans at us for rambling on. That's six people and counting in the last 4 weeks. I'll get straight to the point for a change. He says, put out the strongest team. Sean, how much do you believe Nigel gets paid for his view from the shed? Has he come to the dark side with you? No.
Is that a question to me?
Oh, he says, Sean, how much do you believe Nigel gets paid for his view from the shed?
Oh, I think I know that.
Go on then.
Zero.
Exactly right. I haven't got
haven't set up your adverts yet, have you?
No, I haven't, no. Because I don't do it for advertising.
No.
There is a reason.
You do it because you're a media whore.
Possibly.
You've just got time on your hands, haven't you, Nigel?
It's a bit of both. I'll tell you later, John. Has he come to the dark side with you? No, I haven't. John, have you bought your grandson, even though it's his daughter, the obligatory West Ham baby grow yet? I think I've seen it.
With one. There is one floating about.
I bought it.
All right.
With your club cash.
Well, funny enough, I should have done, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Well, I bought it.
You could have won there. Did you see George what
wanted,
I did?
George wanted it, and I said I'd take it off some money I owed him, and I did. I forgot. So that was my contribution.
He's also asked, do you have a favourite other football team's kit?
Oh, that's a good question.
Well, why do you think?
What current?
I'll go Crystal Palace.
That's not a bad shout.
Which was the red and blue sash across the white shirt. That was totally different. And we had that as a school kit for a while. So the team with the 78 team. And also
some good kits, Palace.
The Orient kit that was white with the...
The braces.
Yes, with the red braces.
Yeah.
But it's funny because I used to go Palace... In the late 70s, and I used to go over Orient a lot as well. So perhaps that's why subliminally I do like those.
Yeah. Mine's the Orient braces. Yeah. Sorry, it's not an Orient podcast.
If we're talking currently, I like the Brighton one with the pinstripes.
Oh, it's a bit boring.
Do you know the one I'm talking about? The blue one?
Yeah, with white pinstripes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I quite like that. I think that's quite a nice kit.
How many more, Nigel?
Yeah. How many more, Nigel?
Couple more.
Okay.
There.
Darren O'Grady, new name, says, evening, gentlemen, from the still strangely sunny, oh no, I think he spoke before, Vancouver, another Canadian. Don't want to be upsetting them, blimey. Now that sense has been seen and the awful red cards reversed, I think we should have a decent game on our hands. We need a solid cup run. And you've got to face the big teams at some point. Leave Antonio. VAR needs to do one. It's a failed experiment, and he's now making the dog's day of a ref even harder, even though he says the death threats are not on. They should, like you said earlier, Sean, they should broadcast the conversation between VAR officials and the ref like they're doing rugby. Or ex-players or out-of-work managers to ref. Could you imagine that? Imagine Roy Keane as a ref. Ian Gravett.
Then I definitely want them wired up.
Ian Gravett. The Roy Keane thing is funny because if he walked on the pitch with a beard, you knew he was going to have a bad day. That was apparently, if Roy Keane, I don't know if it was when he was Sunderland manager, the journalist worked out that when he grew his beard, he was in a bad place. And he was very easily upset by questions or whatever. And if he was clean shaven, he was generally in a good mood.
Okay, that's good enough. Yeah,
so it's quite an interesting view.
That makes sense.
How we used to.
A bit like Jim Morrison.
Yeah. Without the weight, though. Ian Gravett, do we think selling Cullen was a bad idea? I've heard he's having a fantastic season in Anderlecht. I think he's their captain. He says, we've lost a few midfielders in Wilshere, Cullen, Powell, and Coventry may not be ready yet. But if we're not going to have a full-strength side, why can't we put Coventry in? As it seems we won't risk putting out Rice and Suchek for the cup game. Would we qualify for Europe through the league anyway? Surely trying to win the cup would get us into Europe.
Yeah, true.
There's two schools of thought there. Yes, we get into Europe by winning the FA Cup, or you let a team like Man United probably guarantee the top four finish win the FA Cup, and that pushes it down to sixth place. But then if you bear in mind that Man City hopefully win the League Cup, that will make UEFA Cup spot go to seventh. Unless Tottenham win, then it don't. Sean Dugan, last one on Facebook. Evening, good form. He'd put out the strongest team. He hopes Antonio's up front because he looked very stiff against Fulham. all right, maybe not the last one. I do think Moyes is going to have to be selective with the games he plays. Antonio, he hopes Fornals is back in the team on Tuesday too. Speaking of dodgy refs, does anyone remember that game in the 90s against Leeds when we had three players sent off? Lomas, Wright, and someone else I can't remember. It was the goalkeeper, Craig, the Canadian.
Forrest.
Now that was a dodgy ref. Yes, we lost 5-1 to Leeds. It was in the April. I believe Ian Wright never played for us again because he trashed the referee's room after he got sent off. After 5 minutes, he elbowed someone. And it was such a fantastic game of football that it was one of them where you think, blimey, it was right at the end of the season because I know you thought, cool, we finally could play like that every week. Even though we lost 5-1, I think even with 9 men, we were still attacking Leeds and still in the game. They got 3 late goals. Last but not least, he just put a picture up. You pest.
Yeah. I was just looking how many questions we had. And I remember, hang on a minute, I didn't put that graphic up.
Oh, right.
So I put it up for your amusement.
Thank you very much. Quickly on Twitter, I know a few names come in. So, drag names, football drag names, that's all I'm going to do.
They can wait till next week, can't they?
I did get one quick that I thought was funny, which was, someone's dropped the ball.
That's my coaster at the bottom of my glass. That frightens the shit out of me every time I lift the glass up. When the coaster sticks at the bottom of the glass, and momentarily, I think I've dropped the glass. But it's stupid, really. As you were. This is not podcast conversation. As you were,
so,
Nigel.
Drag names. Paul Lincoln Hammer said Nicky Butt Plug.
No, you've got to be a bit more constructive with this.
Band 31, 60, 43, 40 went Ralph Minge or Chico Arsenal.
I'm not finding these amusing anymore. It's sort of past me now.
I'm just skipping through.
Novelty's worn off.
This one I did like. RuPaul Walcock.
At least he understands the concept.
Yeah, I thought that was Tyrone Minge. Oh, this was the one I liked. You ready for this name? Jizz Horncamp. Don't work. Because that's an actual name. Hold up. That is an actual name of a footballer.
Oi. Jizz Nigel, Horncamp. You're rambling now. You're rambling. I'm telling you, 3, 2, 1. Back in the room. We need to move on. Like we moved on from cheese, we need to move on from
Chris Sharp, names. Gay Given, Alan Queerer. Alan Queerer.
No, see, I'm going to stop that. Whoa. Let's stop. Right. Predictions. Johnny, if you're still awake, we've got two games. Fifth round at Old Trafford against Man United, following by the Blades, Sheffield United on next Monday. So we won't podcast next Monday.
Predictions. 2-1 loss tomorrow night, I suspect. And a draw against the Blades, the mighty Blades. 1-1.
Nigel.
Famous victory tomorrow night to follow it up with a defeat against Sheffield United.
Typical West Ham.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 1-0 on both games. So yeah, Len can't get that in. 1-0.
I didn't want them.
1-0 against Man United, 1-0 against the Blades. Len, last but not least.
I'm somewhere between these two guys. I'm hoping for a famous victory. I feel we're going to have a very, very West Ham week. And I think that might be enough of a prediction. But I think we might lose 3-1 tomorrow somehow. And a 0-0 against Sheffield United.
Oof. And great way to finish the podcast, Len. Yeah.
Now we're going to beat Sheffield United. Oh, good. We're going to beat Sheffield United. Right. We're going to lose.
I've been Sean. John has been
dropping off slowly. Nigel has been
worn out.
Len has been
thinking of dinner.
Come on, you irons.
Really fresh from now, Len.
Bobby Moore. Oh.
More than dinner, just a podcast.
I actually did for lunch. More than just a podcast. Lunch and it wasn't enough.
Back next week sometime. Not on Monday.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.